island nation of Sri Lanka in my wonderful, lovely 21-year-old vintage truck. I love my truck. Yeah, my truck's name is Bessie. I know I've never given you guys that before, but I don't know why. Vehicles, if you ever name your vehicle, I don't know why a vehicle my vehicles get female names, but they always do. So this is Bessie. She's strong, she's good, she's reliable. She may not be the prettiest thing in the world, but she takes good care of me. And, you know, it's all good. It was a lot of fun doing Zeph's show the other day, the live show. And, you know, I think that one should have gone up as well. We should have reposted that here on FaithMix. But, you know, it was interesting. I didn't hear the first hour of the show because I was traveling and getting set up. And I knew we'd already coordinated prior to doing the show, kind of the time that I'd make sure I'd got somewhere where I could get online. And so I missed that whole, you know, Lady Cynthia thing that took place with the caller that called in, which basically was, you know, somebody that was kind of wrapped up in a controlling spirit and cloaked in, you know, in something spirit, in just something that would seem to be right, but initially, but, you know, even from the start, it was just kind of something that sort of grates on my spirit, you know, when I was listening to that. I did listen to that show because I was curious, you know, what it had such an effect prior to us doing that hour. And yeah, you know, I think actually it's kind of good that that's there, because that hour was there, because it's a really good reminder and object lesson of something that we've all come out of, and something that will also keep coming to try to bring you back into bondage, into, you know, Galatians, the whole book of Galatians, worth reading, as is the entire Bible, the entire scriptures, the God-given word. But Galatians, the book of Galatians, talks about basically a body of believers that started out really well and then got wrapped back up into bondage, wrapped back up into legalism. And, you know, it's something that will constantly come your way. And just as anything that comes, you know, to try to infiltrate, very rarely does it come hardcore at you in such a way that you can just recognize it right away that, okay, this is, you know, this is wrong and evil and it's coming at you. There's a lot of times it comes as something that looks good and looks nice and flatters you and compliments you and comes with honey. And then, you know, with all of that, it's sort of like, oh, you know, and then, but here's one thing that we really, you should really look at changing, or you should really, you know, they'll always start slipping that in. And it's a subtle thing with many of them, because that bondage is there. It's people that are in bondage want other people to be there with them, and they work very hard to recruit. And you know, when somebody sees you free, there's a hatred of that freedom that's in you, that freedom that's in Christ. Because on a spiritual level, even if somebody may not recognize it in the natural, on the level of spirit, somebody knows there's something different about you. Somebody that sees you, and especially if they've committed themselves to a particular way. I mean, it's one thing if somebody's sort of, you know, they're kind of still trying to figure things out. But if somebody has made a decision in themselves that this is the way they're going to go, they're going to go after whatever form of the world and the world system, or they're going to go after Christ, But and for some of those that go after Christ, if they try to do this, well, sort of halfway in between thing, when they meet somebody that's a real one, when they meet somebody that is actually tracking with him and doing what he said, they know the difference. Even if they can't articulate it, in the realm of spirit, they can tell. And when they tell that, they hate that in you. They hate the fact that you live free, that you walk with Christ, and they do not in that way. And so what happens is there's an almost like an automatic response to say, okay, how can I crush this? How can I, if I can't crush it, how can I bring it under subjection and make it serve me? How can I control this? Basically, they can't leave you alone. They can't leave and let you be. Either they'll curse you from a distance, or they'll try to curse you up close, or try to get inroads. The problem is that, you know, there's also a danger for them. See, the worlders, this is it for them. For the worlders themselves, this is all that they have. This short, pathetic little run around the track here, trying to be a star for each other and hoping that somebody else will legitimize them, because unless other people legitimize their starhood, their celebrity status, their whatever, then it, in their system, it's like, well, okay, you know, you say you're a star, but nobody cares. So they want to be recognized. But the problem is for them is that, you know, it's so ridiculous and so pathetic. But for them, even that, if they cross a true child of God, if they cross one that's been marked for Him, if they cross one that God has said, you know what, this one is mine and it's important that he fulfills his purpose and I'm not going to allow anything or anyone to cut this short, they cross the wrong one, they're gone. They're out. They're dealt with by the Spirit of God. The angelic hosts that have charge over those people, because he commands his angels concerning us, that, you know, that they take care of us. You know, that we won't strike our foot against the stone. Basically, they've got our safekeeping in their hands. Those very spirits of God, those very ministering angels that are there, that are with his people, oh, they'll tear them up. They will tear them up. They just, all they need is just one word. And what they do is when they if they go the wrong way, they've already gone the wrong way, but if they cross one of us that's on the way of Christ, they're putting themselves in a liable spot for a very quick exit from this life in one way, shape, or form. Either they get cut off completely from their own system, and they're just sort of stuck there floundering around now because nothing seems to work where it once did before, or God just kills them. You know, death is not... death. Hey, look, everything dies in this life. Every living thing will check out of here. So, you know, that shouldn't be shocking. That shouldn't be, oh my gosh, territory. No, and this whole thing is about God. So you think that, you know, God, do you think that the Creator is going, God is no respecter of persons. His thing is going to be accomplished here. And in that process of his thing being accomplished, hey, for those that are basically nothing more than props on the stage, furniture to be, you know, just for the play that we're in, if they get out of place, they just get removed. If they no longer have a function or a need, or if they try to stop the actors in the play, the ones that are actually supposed to be there in the roles, well, hey, which one is more important to have there? So God knows the hairs on your head, He knows the swallows, the birds, all of that, and takes care of them, feeds them. So how much more will he take care of you, clothe you, and protect you? Yes, God protects his people. God watches over those that are his. He makes sure that, you know, we can continue. And like we said in that, you know, if you haven't checked it, it should have gone up by now. But there's a sermon, The Adversary, our adversary. Sorry, it's have a listen to that one, because if you get that into your soul, it will give you the right perspective on who our enemy is and why he continues to exist here. See, God allows for the existence of our enemy for a reason, for a purpose. It serves a larger kingdom purpose that God has going on. And I'm not going to repeat myself too much, because that's one beautiful thing about this podcasting and broadcasting and all of this, is that when it goes up, it's out there. And we can continue to move forward with other stuff, because there's so much that we need to cover as God allows us to, and we can do that. We don't have to pretend or act like we are in the 200 years ago where we don't have access to certain things that we do this day, because you know what? We use the tools that we have at hand. So much of this stuff is neutral, and it just depends on who's hand it is in and the spirit that is behind it and motivating it. So, you know, music is a neutral thing, but depending on the spirit that goes into it and is behind it, it either strengthens and edifies, or it kills and it just depletes the spirit. Money is a neutral thing. Scriptures talk about the love of money being the root of all kinds of evil, of all evil. But it itself is just a tool. And if you don't love it, if it doesn't have a hold on you, if you're seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, well, that tool can be used, given over into the hand of God, to do some amazing things that are kingdom related. You can convert cash and use it for kingdom purposes, to help people, to strengthen people, to help provide the needs of the saints. You can use it to do what we do with even this thing, where we put out the message, we put out the truth, and it you know, buy a little recorder. That we record these things and the Spirit of God goes into them as it speaks through us. And hey, cool. It works. So basically, whatever it is that you have in your hand. See, important principle. God doesn't focus on what you don't have. All He wants to know is, what is it that you have? And whatever it is that you have, just dedicate that to the Spirit of God. Put that in His hand. Be it your life, be it your resources, be it your family, be it whatever it is, put that 100% into His hand. Because when you do that, now the Spirit of God can flow through that. Now, you know, there's so many cases in Scripture. This is a repeating principle where, you know, the question was, what do you have? Now, what don't you have? So, Elijah and the Shunammite woman, you've got Jesus and the boy with the 5 loaves and 2 fish, you've got Moses and the staff. You know, I mean, even there, all he had was a stick. That's it. That's the only thing he's got to his name. And what God did with that was as soon as that thing was laid at his feet, as soon as that thing was thrown down at his feet, and he no longer trusted in that, God took that representation and used that for amazing kingdom purposes. So, you know, but until it's at the feet of God, it's just a stick. Until it's been thrown down before Him and dedicated to Him and left at His feet, it's just a stick. And there's a lot of things in the lives of the believers because they are holding on to them, because they are trying to make something work with those in their own ability, in their own thinking, in their own mind. They remain just a stick. There's no power flowing through those. There's no life in them. There's nothing. It's just you. You separate from the Father. And there is no life in anything separate from the Father. There is no flow of the Spirit in anything separate from the Father. The boy, 5 loaves and 2 fish, if he kept that unto himself, he would have been the only one that ate that day. And, you know, there's nothing there. But if he was worried about himself, his life, his possession, you know, when he let that thing go, when that boy with the lunch let that go, basically he was out there in the wilderness with everybody else. Everybody else was hungry. And they'd been traveling for some time. They'd been there for 3 days. And he could have easily said, well, they should have planned. All these other people should have thought ahead a little bit. I got mine. You deal yourself. Yep. But no. When Jesus spoke out and said, what do you have? Who's got what? What do we have to work with? When he gave it over to him, when he gave it over to Christ, what ended up happening was the miracle could take place. When it was put into the hand of God, now God could feed and would feed the 5,000. 5,000 men, by the way, that didn't, because that was the way they were counting it. So all those guys, a bunch of them would have been married, so there would have been a bunch of women there, and then a ton of other kids. If they had traveled out too, and if they were curious. So you're talking a lot of people. And God, why is it that God, being God, and capable of raining manna from heaven, capable of, he's done it before, of giving water from the rock, all of that, why would he choose to use a boy's lunch to feed the 5,000? The 5,000 plus plus. Why would he choose to do that? And that being his method of operation. See, Jesus was constantly teaching. He was constantly showing. He was constantly revealing. And one important part of that, and that lesson, was though he could do it in so many different ways, his choice was, and his choice today is, to work through his people, to work through those that would surrender whatever it is that they have in their hand and their lives, and to put it before him 100%, and to let his will be done. See, that's his choice of a method of operation. So that's the way he wants to work. And yeah, he can do all kinds of other stuff. But that was the way that he chose to work and show his power. And it is an encouragement for the church, because we follow in a similar line. We follow in that similar line. And that's why, too, you know, Jesus said, look, if you try to save your life in this world, you're going to lose it. If you lose your life for my sake and for the gospel, you're going to find it. The people that lose their lives for the gospel, the people that give their lives up and over to the Spirit of God, those are the lives that he works through. Aha! Those are the lives that he works through. Not the ones trying to save their lives in this world and just stamp a Jesus label on it. No, he doesn't work through those. They remain a dead sack lunch over on the side because they're still holding on. They're still holding on. They're still trying to be something in this world. They're still just saying, you know what, I just got to take care of myself and my thing, and that's all that I'm going to do. And you know what, that's it. That's where they stay. So, you know, you can't do this for somebody else. See, that's part of it. You can't do this for someone else. You can only do this, it's between you and the Father. And when He calls you, harden not your heart as in the rebellion and as in so many people have done before. The many are called, but the chosen are few. Be among the chosen. The chosen respond. The chosen, when the Spirit of God speaks to them, they respond. They listen. And even within their own limitation, you know what? That kid, bless that kid. that kid that gave up his lunch, he didn't know how he was going to eat after that. But he trusted God. He trusted Jesus. And he knew, okay, Jesus, if this is what you're asking of from me, you know, I love you enough. I love you this much. Look, I'm going to give it up. And even if I don't eat today, at least I've done what you asked from me. I've obeyed your will. I put myself out there because you asked me to. And that's the heart that he wants. And you know what? That's why, you know, he took him into the desert too. Because in that place, in that context, this could be revealed. He couldn't reveal this in the city center. He couldn't reveal this where everybody can run to a shop, where everybody has everything available and accessible. No, this principle couldn't be shown there. It had to be shown in a difficult place, in a stretching circumstance. That's when he can show it. That's when he can reveal it. And that's why, too, don't despise the difficult circumstances that you may face. Because it is in those that God can show himself strong in your life and reinforce the truth of who he is. If you can see it, if you'll trust him, if you'll believe him, if you'll go with him. So often what happens with God's people is they get afraid. They get afraid, and there's no, perfect love drives out all fear. Because they refuse to go 100% and they hold something back, that place where they hold something back is the very place where the enemy creeps in, is the very place where the enemy sets up shop and paralyzes them. You don't have to be paralyzed. You can walk in the fullness of this thing. And, you know, it is a process, yes, but keep moving in that right direction. And the Spirit of God will do that work in you. So, yes, an encouragement, just put it all before him. Put it at his feet. Trust him, because he knows what he's doing with you. Absolutely knows what he's doing with you. And you know, there is an amazing adventure out there for his people. Jesus said, I came that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. What he's calling you to in this place of trust is also an abundant life. It's a full life. It is a place where you will enjoy what he puts you through. Because even though it's difficult and it's hard, when you look back on it, it is so fulfilling. And you can't get that anywhere else. You can't create in your own mind a life that has this kind of fulfillment in it. The worlders, no way. No way. You know what the worlders do? They sell out to the world system. And then they, for the ones that do get some wealth or some fame in their system or whatever it is that they call success, for them, the problem now is that that's really boring. And so they've got to create something fun. They've got to try to create something that has some adventure, some excitement, some anything. And it's just empty, and they know that. And so they have these momentary, like, yay, fun moment. And then as soon as that's done, and it's done really fast, when it's over, they are, again, bored and dead and empty. So they're flying all over the place trying to find something. Running around trying to find something. Getting into all kinds of things. Just... or to try to kill the pain, too. Or to try to deaden the... It's quite sad. And the ones that they lift up as examples of their system. Incredibly sad. But, alas... choice is involved, and that is why the admonition of the scriptures is choose life. Choose ye this day whom ye shall serve. As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. As for me and my friends, oh yes, we will serve the Lord. We will live the abundant life. We will know what the truth is. We will walk with our Savior as He has called us. We respond. We are the chosen of God. No apologies for that. Thank God for loving us, for saving us, for giving us His truth, and for carrying us through all of these things. So, hey, don't worry about anything. Do not worry about a thing. God is in control. And with that, I must let you go for now. But hey, God bless you. As always, hey, love you guys. I really do. So keep on keeping on. Trust, trust, trust. Faith and trust, same word. Trust God. And smile. All right. Hey, love you guys. I'll talk to you soon. Bye. Yeah.